Brother Robert has asked we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 21. There's a heading in my Bible here that says, "Be ye holy." In that last song that we just sang, "The Cleansing Stream I See, and it cleanses me," that I think spoke directly to probably what the topic would be about tonight. I'm not sure what Brother Robert has in mind, but it definitely pertains to the verse, the scripture that we have in front of us here. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 21. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Let's humbly kneel for prayer.
We greet each one tonight in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. We're going to talk about him tonight. Our subject is redeemed, but before we go into that, I was really glad to be here this morning to hear the message. And I was thinking about counterfeits. You know, I don't know where I was, if I was at Walmart or where, but somebody handed a $10 bill to the clerk, and she was looking at this thing, and I don't know if it felt different or what to her. I guess she was deciding whether it was counterfeit or not. But you know, the blood of Jesus is not counterfeit. It's real. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's how I'd like to start this sermon tonight. Brother Randy, I'd like for you to lead the number 68 in the green hymnal. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. I'd like you to sing all the verses.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me song in the night. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the Spirit made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his child and forever I am.
I had our brother read this portion of scripture here, and I just want to point out a couple things about it before we talk about redeemed. 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And then in 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then in 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, listen to this, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. We're going to look at that a little bit later. We want to look at two thoughts here. What does redeemed mean, and what does it mean to us? The dictionary says, to recover ownership of by paying a specified sum, to set free, to rescue or ransom, to save from a state of sinfulness and its consequences. He brought us out. Jesus did. He brought us out that he might bring us in. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And I'd just like to read a verse back in Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He brought us out. He brought the children of Israel out. He brought you and me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's found in Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes. Those were Jesus' own words. And then he brought us out of the world into his kingdom, and you'll find that in Matthew 25, 34. Matthew 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're out of the world into his kingdom. That's part of redemption. Now, if you remember back in the book of Ruth, Ruth came to Bethlehem with Naomi. Chapter 1, 32 says, So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And I suppose they came back to where Elimelech had been before and had land there. I'd like to just point out a few things here in the book of Ruth, before we look at his Boaz's redemption there. I'd like to read a couple verses. Now, Naomi and Ruth came back, and we know the story, how Ruth entreated Naomi that she did come along. It says that Ruth didn't speak to her no more about it. She just left her come along. And they came back, and then she was gleaning in the field, gleaning barley, and I don't think it just happened, but I believe it was so that Ruth happened to be in Boaz's fields. I don't think that just happened. I believe that was planned by God himself. And then Boaz, later on in chapter 2, Boaz answered and said unto her, that is to Ruth, It hath been fully shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then over in chapter 4, Boaz was the kinsman, the next to the closest kinsman of Naomi's, and she was going to buy the land, and also she would, that included Ruth with the buying of the land. In verse 4, Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Now this was the other person that would have been a little bit closer to Elimelech's, what he owned, what Naomi would have owned now. And he sat down with him. And then he said, When you buy this field, then you also take Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. That's found in chapter 4, 2. I like, though, what he says here in verse 15 of chapter 4. not Boaz, but the people that the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left us this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. This was after then she had borne a child. They had married. Boaz married Ruth, and then they had a child, which I guess was what, the great grandfather maybe of David. So we have a little bit there of God's intervention in this situation. Boaz bought Naomi's land, and he bought Ruth also. What does that have to do with redemption? Well, Boaz redeemed, or he bought back the land, and I'm not sure exactly what how that fits in here with redeemed, but it does. He bought back that belonged to Naomi included, and Ruth included. And that makes me think of our redemption. Jesus purchased us with his own precious blood. And with it, I believe that it includes my wife, my house, my car, my land, my money. Maybe more things. When he redeemed me, those things I gave to him. He bought me with his own precious blood. And I, just out of love and devotion to him, I would give back these things to him. Not give my wife away, but these things are not my own anymore. My money, our money, isn't our own. It belongs to the one who redeemed us. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. No one better, is it, to redeem us than the Lord Jesus. The songwriter says, I am under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Now, sometimes we think of hymns as a little strange. I don't believe the Lord has wings, does he? But anyhow, there's a lesson here for us, and we can trust him. He's going to be with us and guide us every day. I believe the songwriter there was speaking a little bit figuratively when he said under his wings. But we are, in a sense, under his wings. You know, I'm not sure. I think I'm back in Leviticus, maybe. It says there, when you redeem a person, that person is not a slave. Now, in a sense, we're slaves. We talk about that as servants or slaves. But I like to look at it more as a servant. Since I have been redeemed, I'm a servant of his. Maybe I am a slave of his. But anyhow, he's a good taskmaster. We don't need to be concerned about that. We are redeemed. We belonged to Satan at one time. Our brother mentioned that this morning. But when we became redeemed, then we changed masters. Now Jesus is our master. What are, you know, Boaz got some extra benefits, didn't he? He got extra benefits when he bought that land. He had the benefit of Ruth yet. And I don't know, maybe some other things. I'm not sure just all what Naomi did own. But anyhow, we have benefits. What are some of the benefits that we have when Jesus redeems us? Well, I jotted down a few things here. And this lesson isn't strange to any of us. It's just a reminder. I think we have forgiveness. We have God's grace. And we have his mercy. And we sure need that, don't we? We have his peace. We want peace. Peace with God. We want the peace of God. We want peace with him. Peace. Sweet peace. We're adopted, Galatians 4, verse 4 or 5 says. We're even adopted into his family. Benefits from our redemption. In Matthew 13, 16, it talks about we even have new eyes. We see things differently. Some of our benefits. I have a song I love to sing, since I have been redeemed, of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. I have a Christ who satisfies, since I have been redeemed. To do his will is my highest prize, since I have been redeemed. What are the future results, number two, of his redemption? In Ephesians 5:16, it talks about redeeming the time. You know, we can't buy time, but we can use it wisely. How often do we just throw away time? I do. I think that's one of the things that maybe I need to grow in. And maybe all of us do too. Maybe more of us that need to grow in how we use our time. It takes time to be holy. We have been redeemed. And so is our time. Now, we talked about some of the benefits of being redeemed, but how about our future? I think there are two meanings to being redeemed. And I want to look at a couple scriptures here. We're redeemed now, Ephesians 1, verse 7. Hope you'll bear with me a little bit till I get these scriptures. It's in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. We've been redeemed. Now, Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zeal. Do we have zeal for good works? Zealous of good works. We have redemption now. He redeems us from all iniquity, and we have future redemption, Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That sounds like future to me. We're sealed until the day of redemption. Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I think that's going to be the completion of our redemption. The completion of our redemption. Revelation 5:9-10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. When a little boy was asked one day why he believed in God, he paused. After thinking over a little bit, he says, I don't know. I think it must run in the family. That child probably spoke more truth than he realized. Belief in God can be a family trait. I know my mother and father really did influence me to stick to the faith. But each of us, each one of us, have to make that decision if we're going to follow him. Faith in God might be a family trait, but it's not inherited. No one will go to heaven on the faith of parents or grandparents or someone we love. But each of us need to make that decision ourselves, a personal decision with Christ, to receive Christ as our Savior and Lord. Our godly parents can strongly influence us, and we can be glad we have them. So many children grow up today that don't have their right parents. I like the answer that little boy gave. He believed in Christ as his personal Savior, not because he had worked through intellectual difficulties. He was only confident about God because faith runs in the family. Let's determine to give our children a rich heritage of a living faith so that they will want to believe. I don't think I'm going to give that person away tonight if I say this. But we had a grandson visiting us recently. They have a little daughter. She can barely talk. They're teaching her Bible verses. That thrills my soul. Doesn't it, you? If our children are taught scripture verses, let's determine to give our children a rich heritage of a living faith so that they will want to believe. Then faith in God will become a family trait. First Peter 1:18. I just can't pass that scripture. I'd like for us all to turn to that again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, for me, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Listen to verse 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. If we were to go over to John, 1 John, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's why we can sing hymns like, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. If you would be turned to number 78 in the green hymnal, you can read the rest of those words. And then there's another hymn. I was surprised that all the hymns that have Redeemer or redemption, something like that in their verses. My gracious Redeemer I love, his praises aloud I'll proclaim, and join with the armies above to shout his adorable name. He freely redeemed with his blood my soul from the confines of hell, to live on the smiles of a God, and in his sweet presence to dwell. Isn't that beautiful? We've been redeemed. Don't give it back. Don't give it up. Because we're just looking forward to a better place. That's why we're here tonight. We believe the Bible. We believe in the Word. And it's going to see us through to glory if we faint not.
Verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter 1 should be precious verses to all of us. They are to me. They always have been. Sometimes we hear a hymn that goes something like this. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Praise God for a redeemer. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank you, Robert, for bringing the message, and thank the Lord for using you and blessing us tonight. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank